Number two, because of the domain of Jesus. And number three, because of the dynasty of Jesus. I talked with you on Monday night, part one, why we exist as the Church of Christ. And I simply showed that it was wielded by God that the Church of Christ exists. And of course, to our visitors tonight, we want you to know that you are our honored guest as we share part three on the very same subject. If you would be so kind to turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 13. I want to express to all of the gospel preachers tonight that we appreciate your presence here. For we know that you could be somewhere else doing something else. But thank God you come here to help us in this meeting. Are you in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? The Bible says in verse number 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." I want you to understand from the outset that we exist tonight as the Church of Christ based upon this passage because the Holy Spirit perpetuates the church. The Church of Christ is not some new idea. It is not some innovative creation of a human being. The Church of Christ has its origin, believe it or not, in the mind of God. For God, from the foundation of the world, had the Church of Christ in his mind. And what God had in his mind, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 7, he put it in earthen vessels, and men began to proclaim the word of God. Paul said, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." And I think every preacher today needs to understand that God is the power. As a matter of fact, I talk to people often. And when I talk about power, I usually tell them that when it comes down to the gospel, the gospel is God's power to save, based upon the 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18. Paul said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." I tell people from Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, well, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks." But what you also need to understand is that Jesus is the power behind that power. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 24, the Bible said, "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." You see, when you talk about gospel power, you have to talk about a word that they call dunamis. In other words, when it comes down to power, the gospel is what moves people to obey God. But then there is a power behind that power. You remember what he said in Matthew 28 and verse number 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now the word power in this text is not the same word power in Romans 1:16. This word here is exousia. The word in Romans is dunamis. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that Jesus is the power behind the power. Jesus has legislative power. Jesus has executive power. And Jesus has judicial power. He has all power that leaves no room for men like me. It leaves no room for men like Muhammad. It leaves no room for men like the Pope of Rome. Jesus has all power. And I want to share with you tonight how the Holy Spirit works with the Church of Christ. Because there are three divine distinct persons of the Godhead. And I need this church to understand tonight. We don't serve a tritheistic God. No, God is a Trinity. But he isn't but one God. We don't serve three gods. One God. Existing in three persons. And the Holy Spirit is one of those persons. Somebody may ask, preacher, how can you conclude that there is one God existing in three persons? Well, I love to illustrate. If I were to ask you tonight, how many universes do we have? You have to tell me that isn't but one universe. But within this one universe, there is matter. There is space. And there is time. The universe is a trinity. But there isn't but one universe. Well, when you look at matter, if I were to ask you how many matters do we have, you have to tell me that isn't but one matter. But that one matter exists in solid, liquid, and gas. You see, matter is a trinity, but that isn't but one matter. If I were to ask you, how many times do we have? You have to tell me, there isn't but one time. But that one time exists as a trinity. There is the past, the present, and the future. Or just stay with me. I'll get to 1 Corinthians 12 in a few minutes. There isn't but one space. And if I were to ask you how many spaces do we have, you have to conclude there isn't but one. But that one space is a trinity. You have the height, the depth, and the width. Am I correct about it? Well, when I look at God, I see something. I see one God existing in three persons. I see 1 John 5 and verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. I told you when I first started this particular subject matter that the Father, are you listening? Planned the church. I told you that the Son purchased the church. And I told you that the Holy Spirit put some power in the church. So when I look at the Holy Spirit tonight, I want to show you how He works in the church of Christ. How He continues to perpetuate the church of Christ. The Bible says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now I need to work on this because this passage seems to be controversial to a lot of people. When one investigates the will of God, he finds throughout the scriptures that the church of Christ is seen under many images or metaphors. It is seen as the kingdom. It is seen as the church of the firstborn or the firstborn ones. It is seen as the army of Christ. It is seen as the bride of Christ. It is seen as the temple of God. It is seen as the vineyard of God. It is seen as the house of God. But in this text, it is seen as the body of Christ. Are you all listening? I need to make sure you are still on the line. I don't need you to hang up on me. I want you to use your ears listening to me like you do when you are on your cell phone. I want you to pay close attention. I know many people say that 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13 teaches the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But if we examine the passage closely, thoroughly, we will find that that's not the truth. Paul is not dealing with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, if that's not the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then you need to tell me what it is. What I just need you to give me some time. Every now and then, if you're going to bake a good cake, you have to be prepared to wait on it. Am I correct about it? You don't just pop it in the oven, turn it up real high, and then pull it out. Oh no, you have to let it sit in there a while. So I just want to see if I can bake this message. It'll take a while, but if you hang with me, I believe you will see it before I close. Yes, the Holy Spirit has something to do with the church or body of Christ coming into existence at Corinth. Now, you do know 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Paul is writing to the people at Corinth. Now, what many of us fail to realize is that many times in the book of Acts, you will see the actual working of the apostles and the Holy Spirit working through them. And in many cases, what Paul and others would do after they had gone to these places, they would then later on write a letter back to the same folk they had dealt with. Paul spent about 3.5 years at Ephesus. Then he wrote them a letter. Paul spent about 1.5 years at Corinth. And then he wrote them 2 letters. Are you paying attention? What I need to do now is go to the origin of the church at Corinth. Come to Acts 18, verses 8 through 10. I'm not going to tell you. I won't be long tonight. I don't want to give you the wrong impression. I want to take as much time as I need to take. As a matter of fact, when I called my wife today, the first thing she wanted to know after she asked me, how are things with you? The next question was, how long did you preach? Are you all paying attention? Because she knows I'll get in this stuff and I won't turn it loose. But I don't plan to be eternal tonight. Are you in for Acts 18 and verse 8? And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. Watch this now. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. Now listen. I know the next verse said he continued there by the space of 1 year, 6 months. But I want to tell you something. When Paul went to Corinth for the first time, the people at Corinth heard the gospel, believed the gospel, and were baptized. Now I need you to get this. This is before Paul wrote back to them. So these people were baptized. Now I need you to catch this. Remember he wrote, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. Notice, it was the apostle Paul who did the baptizing of some of these folk. Now Paul didn't know everybody that he had baptized, but Paul did some baptizing. Come to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to pick up with verse 14. I don't need anybody to misunderstand what I'm about to say. Because if we get this thing right, then people can have an opportunity or a chance to come to Jesus. Are you in 1 Corinthians 1? Verse 14. I thank God that I baptize none of you. But Crispus, may I pause? Didn't we read that in Acts 18:8? But Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. So Paul writes them back. I thank God that I baptize none of you, but Crispus and Gaius. Lest any should say that I have baptized in my own name, and I baptize also the house of Stephanus. And besides, I know not whether I baptize any other. Now notice, Paul said, I baptize. Now, you have to catch this. Now, the book says, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now, the Holy Spirit has something to do with them being baptized, but the Holy Spirit did not directly baptize them. The Holy Spirit use Paul as the agent. It's like cause and effect. It was Paul that did the baptizing, but the Holy Spirit gave Paul the teaching. So both Paul and the Holy Spirit did some baptizing. But the Holy Spirit himself did not baptize them. It was Paul that baptized them. Well, I'm not finished. I need to make this as plain as I can make it. You need to understand that the Holy Spirit baptized them, but he indirectly baptized them. Paul baptized them directly, but the Holy Spirit used Paul to do the baptizing. But I need to go a step further. Come to 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 15. I need to work on this, and we need to get it right. That's why the religious world is all messed up tonight, because they are not getting it right. And we need to help them to get it right. Are you there? Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 15. Are you in the text? For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Now you got to catch this. Paul said, I have begotten you through the gospel. What did Paul use to beget them? He used the gospel. But the question is, where did Paul get the gospel from? He got the gospel from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit taught Paul, and Paul taught the Corinthians. Are you all listening? Oh, I'm going to make this plain. I have to make it plain. Because people today are waiting on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when the baptism of the Holy Ghost was not a command, but a promise. Oh, I got to show it. I'm going to show it tonight. I just need you to stay with me. Come over. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 22. I just need to work on this, and then I'll take my seat. Now, I need you to understand something. I'm from Mississippi in the United States. Well, in Mississippi, many years ago, cotton was tall and cotton was long. I'm talking about like you wearing this cotton shirt. That's the cotton I'm talking about. Cotton was king in Mississippi. Well, you know, in New York, there's a difference in New York and Mississippi. In New York, everything is swift, fast-paced. But in Mississippi, everything is slow-paced. So when I tell you tonight, I won't preach but a minute. I'm talking about a Mississippi minute. It'll be slow. It'll be long. But it'll be all right. Are you all listening? Oh, yes, I need to work on this. Because too many people want to come to church and just hurry up and get out. But no, we need to work on this. We need to help people to understand. The reason why we don't baptize a lot of folk is because we don't take the time to teach them the right way of the Lord. So what I like to do, I like to take my time. Now, are you in 1 Peter chapter 1? Look at verse 22. Your Bible says, sin, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Or may I pause? Now, what have they done? They had obeyed the truth. But notice, through the Spirit. Now, how could they obey the truth through the Spirit. Well, let me drop something on you. Let me drop something on you. Let me finish this verse, and then I want to drop something on you. Seeing you have purified your soul and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now I want to show you something. You remember I told you earlier that the apostles would go to places, preach the word, and then turn around and write a letter. Well, these same folk that Peter is now writing to, he once preached to some of them on Pentecost. Go back to 1 Peter 1. I'm going to prove it. 1 Peter 1. What verse number 1? Are you there? Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Did you all hear these names? Well, come to Acts 2. Let's see if we can pick up some of these names. Acts chapter 2. Well, I'll start at verse number 9, so I won't hold you too long. Are you in Acts 2? Verse 9. Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, and dwellers of Mesopotamia, in Judea, Cappadocia. Y'all remember that? In Pontus. You remember that? At Asia. You remember that? Well, some of the same folk that Peter preached to on Pentecost, he turned around and wrote to them a little bit later. So now how did the Holy Spirit work with these folk? The Holy Spirit baptized Peter and the other apostles, put the word in them. They preached the word and they were baptized on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit did not baptize the 3,000 with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit baptized the apostles, put the word in the apostles, and the apostles preached to the people, and the people obeyed the preaching of the apostles. But where did the word come from? It came from the Holy Spirit. It came by the Holy Spirit. It came through. Are y'all going to catch this? By the Holy Spirit. From the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit did not baptize the people at Corinth on with the baptism, rather, of the Holy Ghost. Paul told them. But Paul got his teaching from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indirectly taught them through Paul. But Paul used the word in order to teach them. Oh yes, I have some territory to cover tonight. And I just need you to stay with me for a little while. The reason I know it wasn't the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because Paul baptized them. And Paul is not the administrator of Holy Ghost baptism. There isn't but one administrator of Holy Ghost baptism. And his name is Jesus. Come on with me. John chapter 1, verse number 33. Oh yes, I'm going to work on it. Because the world needs to know. Too many people got this thing mixed up. Too many television evangelists got this mixed up. Too many electronic pastors got this mixed up. Too many health and wealth theologists got this mixed up. And we need to set the record straight. Even here tonight, yes, the Holy Spirit perpetuates the Church of Christ, but we are going to show you how he does it Are you in John 1, verse 33? And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see of the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. That's Jesus. Jesus is the only administrator of Holy Ghost baptism. Man can't do it to save his life. God didn't intend for man to do it. And I just believe you ought to let God do what God does. And I know a lot of folks think folk in Mississippi aren't too smart. That was a group of men. I just want to borrow your ink pen for just a second. There was a group of men that had a counterfeit ring in St. Louis, Missouri. And man, when they had that counterfeit ring, what they did, they printed out some $15 bills. And man, they didn't know how to get rid of them. And so one guy said, well, I know what we can do. We can take them down to Mississippi. And man, we can get rid of them down there. So they went down to Mississippi, stopped off at an old man's store at Route 15, Liberty, Mississippi. And they went in there, thank you. And man, the guy pulled out one. He said, sir, I need to get some change for this $15 bill. And Mr. Duval Scott looked at it. He said, I'll be glad to do it. How do you want it? Do you want 2 sixes and a three? Do you want 2 threes and a six? Or do you want 5 $3 bills? You see, they think we're not too smart down in Mississippi, but we know how to change a $15 bill. You ought to be all right after a while. Don't worry about whether or not we are smart. Just put your mind on the Word of God. The Holy Spirit didn't baptize the Corinthians with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was because of or by the Holy Spirit teachings through Paul that they were baptized into one body. Now, I need to work on this. Remember, I said it was by the Holy Spirit's teaching. See, a lot of people don't understand that the Holy Spirit is a teacher. He's a teacher. You remember? Come over to John chapter 14, verse number 26. I'll go there first. John chapter 14. Verse number 26. I need you to hear this. The Bible said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, who's going to teach? The Holy Ghost will teach you all things. Now, don't get beside yourself. When he said the Holy Ghost will teach them all things, he's not talking about you. And I know a lot of folks will run over here. I met a guy one time. He told me he had been baptized with the Holy Ghost. He came to my office to sit and talk with me. And so, after he told me he had been baptized with the Holy Ghost, I put a series of scriptures out there. I said in John 17:17, the Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I put a passage out there. Psalm 33:4, for the word of the Lord is right, and all of his works are done in truth. I put some scriptures out there. James 1, verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of nothingness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. And then I asked him a question. I knew he didn't know the answer, but I asked him anyway. I said, "You mean to tell me you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost?" He said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Well, since the Bible says that the word of God is truth, so whenever you want truth, you go to the word of God." So I asked him an Old Testament question that I knew he couldn't answer. And he looked at me. He said, "Well, I don't know the answer." I said, "Wait a minute. Let the Holy Ghost bring it to your remembrance since you've been baptized with him." That's what you told me. You told me you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, so we'll just wait on him. Because what I'm telling you is in the truth. And the Bible said he would guide you into all truth. John 16:13, "How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he shall guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." I said, "Let's just wait on him." I had him there about 30 minutes. I looked at him again. I said, "Had he come yet? Had he revealed it yet?" He said, "Not yet." I said, "Well, we'll wait on him." 15 minutes passed. I looked at my watch again. I said, "Had he spoken to you yet?" He said, "Not yet." I said, "Well, we'll wait on him." Because he did say he'll guide you in all truth. And the question I asked you is in all truth. So we'll wait on him. I let an hour pass. And I asked him, "Had he come yet?" He threw his hands up. He said, "You know what? I guess I haven't been baptized with the Holy Ghost." And when he conceded, I took him to the water, baptized him into the church of Christ. Y'all don't have to say amen, it's right on anyway. But just to say it is to be a witness for the truth. A whole lot of folk are claiming the baptism of the Holy Ghost based on 1 Corinthians 12:13. But this text is not teaching the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, I need to work a little bit more. Come over to 1 Corinthians 2. I won't read it all. Instead of me going to verse 9, I'll just drop down to verse number 12. Save you a little time. Y'all don't mind me saving you a little time, do you? Well, watch verse number 12 in 1 Corinthians 2. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God." Now watch the next verse. "Which things also we speak, not in the word which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches." You got to see this. The Holy Ghost teaches. He's a teacher. The question is, does he teach us directly or does he teach us indirectly? I maintain he teaches us indirectly, and yet he is a teacher. Now let me work with this baptism thing for a minute, because you need to understand this. In John 4, come on over. John 4, beginning with verse number 1. You see, the good thing about the Church of Christ is that we believe we ought to prove what we preach. We don't shy away from people's questions. If we don't know the answer, we know where it is. And give us a little time, we'll get it for you. Am I correct about it? Because we don't want people to think that we are omniscient and we know it all. We don't know it all. But thank God we know where it all is. Did you get it? We don't know it all, but we know where it is. That's the beauty of serving God. We don't wait on the Lord to come down and give us a word in the middle of the night through some little still, small voice. We don't do that. I was preaching in a tent meeting like this. I'll be at John 4 in a minute. Let me tell my story. I was preaching in a tent meeting like this down in a little town called Lexington, Mississippi. It's where Mr. C.H. Mason, the founder of the Churches of God in Christ, put his first school in that place. Well, a whole lot of folk down there were Pentecostals, because that's what C.H. Mason was. That's the religion he started. 1897. He said he was walking down the street in Little Rock, Arkansas, and God spoke to him. Well, a whole lot of stuff transpired, he said. But listen, man, while we were there, there was a preacher of that persuasion. He asked me, would I come see him at his home? He had been under the tent listening to me preach, and I went to his home. He said, preacher, I need to tell you something. I said, I'm all ears. You know, a lot of folks think preachers in the Church of Christ don't listen. But honey, we listen. How do you know we know what to do? Because we listen. So I sat there. He said, you know, one night I was driving a bus going up to Chicago, and my wife was sitting behind me. And in the wee hours of the night, I heard a voice calling my name, and I turned around and I say, honey, did you call me? She said, no, baby. And I kept on driving. And then he said, a few hours later, he heard his name called again. And he turned and asked his wife, honey, did you call me? She said, no, baby. Well, by that time, I already have it fixed in my mind what this is about. This is about Samuel when he was a child. God called him 3 times. He jumped up and run over to Eli and asked Eli, did you call me? You see, I know what this is about. So I'm just sitting there, just listening. And then he said, and I knew when he got to 3 times, he was going to stop. You see, I already knew that. I knew God wasn't going to petition him 4 times because he didn't call Eli but 3. So I knew he was going to stop at 3. So I got this thing all mapped out. You ought to be all right after a while. And so I took that thing, man, and let me show you what I did with it. And I started working with him because I knew he didn't know any better. So I said, first of all, sir, somewhere down the line you read 1 Samuel chapters 1 through 3. Somewhere down the line you read that and you just happened to remember the story. And you see, dreams and all of that stuff, they come from a multitude of business. Oh, I can go to Ecclesiastes 5, 4, 7 and prove all of that stuff. So don't make me run all over the Bible. But if I have to, I will. He was just expressing what was going through his daily business during the day. Something he had read. Then he tried to apply it to himself. But it wouldn't work. So I took that idea. I went to another Pentecostal preacher's house. I took that idea. So what I did, I went to his house the first day. And I listened. I took the idea. I went to the Pentecostal house the second day. And I listened. Now, you know I'm not going but 3. I said, I'm not going but 3. So the Pentecostal preacher asked me, he said, well, man, are you going to say anything? I said, just keep on talking. So I went back the third day, and I heard him. And after 3 days, I said, well, I've heard enough. And I started working with him. I said, first of all, preacher, you are borderline antichrist. Oh, he looked at me like, what in the world do you mean? By the time I finished, he went in the house. He said to his mama, now listen to this. This man had been a part of the Pentecostal church for 31 years. He had been the pastor of this same church for the past 12 years. As a matter of fact, their church building was on their property. His mama's house was on the property. His house was on the property. And their church building was on the property. Everything on the property. So man, he went in the house. He said, Mama, I need you to go in the house. I need you to go in the church building. Because this is the last time we'll have any service in there. Man, that old lady started walking and shedding tears. Because she had been in that church as long as he. And longer. And tears were flowing. So he went in his house. He told his wife. He said, Honey, Mama is at the church crying. Go over there and console Mama. She said, Well, what's going on? He said, I'm really in transition right now. Just do what I ask you. So he said, Preacher, come go with me. I got in his van. He had a radio program. We stopped off at the radio station. He went in the radio station. He told the radio announcer. He said, Put my program on hold. And the announcer asked him, What do you want me to tell the people? He said, Tell them whatever you want to. Just put my program on hold. We got back in his van. And down an old country road, we went. We stopped off at one of his members' homes. We went in there, and he said, Sister, my brother, I need you to get on the phone. Call as many of our members as you can call, because I need you all to hear this. And man, people started coming from everywhere out of that country town. And I started teaching. One of the men jumped up. He said, Pastor Dulce, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to get baptized right now in the Church of Christ. Well, I got on the phone then, and I called some of my brothers at the Church of Christ. I said, Meet me at the church building. They say, For what? I said, Don't worry, just meet me there. Because I knew I need some help. Because I got a whole church that I got to baptize. Y'all will be all right after a while. And man, we got in that thing. Went on down. This Frankie Dulce. Man, this guy is about 6'4" or 5", way over 300 pounds. He looked at me. He said, You think you can take me down? I said, Just get in the water. That's all I want you to do. See, the water going to help me. I just need you to get in it. Isn't that all right? Yeah, man, I know how to make you float. Just get in there. Yeah, I baptized people bigger than him, and I took him down, and I brought him up, and I took his mama down, brought her up, took his wife down, brought her up, took all of these members down, brought them up. Sunday morning, man, we had so many folk up in that church. It was so much noise up in there. Man, these people come from the Pentecostal church. I'm preaching. They shouting. I'm preaching. They're hollering. And the members in the Church of Christ not used to this. So they run over to me. Brother Ho, what we going to do? I say, Just leave the folk alone. Let me teach them. I got them this far. Y'all just keep quiet like you do when I'm preaching. I made him stay quiet. Frankie Dawes is still a preacher in the Church of Christ. You don't have to say amen. The Bible is right anyway. When people understand the difference between the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the laying on of hands of the apostle, and the gift of the Holy Ghost, they will obey Jesus. Now let's go to John 4. I've told part of my story. I have some more. Maybe I'll give you some more during the week. I have a lot of stories. I better say narratives. Because if I say stories, somebody might think I'm lying. I have a lot of narratives. Yeah, that actually happened. I saw them. I've been a part of them. I've seen what God can do. I know what God can do. And I'm going to talk more about all of this miracle, so-called working pastor later on in the week, because I believe people need to know the truth. Are you in John chapter 4? Verse number 1. When therefore the Lord knew how that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. I'm in John 4 and verse 1. Now let me tell you good folks something. I must admit, I wear glasses. I can't see. But I can hear real good. And I hear you all saying, what he say? What scripture? But that's all right. We're going to work with it. Are you in John 4? Look at verse 1 again. When therefore the Lord knew how that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Now, what did Jesus do in this text? He made and baptized more disciples than John. But watch the next verse. Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. Now, the book says Jesus made and baptized, but then Jesus himself didn't baptize anybody. If I were to ask you who baptized these folks, I'll say Jesus did. Indirectly. Jesus was the teacher. Sometimes when I leave meetings, man, people say, well, yeah, brother, who baptized me? I didn't get in the water. I was just a teacher. Are you listening? The Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12:13 did not baptize them. Paul baptized them. They were baptized through the teaching of the Holy Spirit that Paul received from the Holy Spirit. I have to make it plain. Because the Bible is right. Men need to know the Holy Spirit was a promise. Now, I'm not going to go all the way back to Joel 2 tonight, but I plan to work on it before I leave here because I want people to understand what we're dealing with. Now, every time a person is baptized into the church of Christ, that's the Holy Spirit perpetuating the church of Christ. The church is not going out of business. I don't care what they say. Oh, I've heard about the restoration movement. Since I don't have all of that background education through all of these schools of prison, but I've heard about the restoration movement, and I've heard people say that during the dark ages, the Church of Christ went out of business. But I want to tell you, it's just not so. The Church of Christ never went out of business. Well, can you put some scripture on that picture? Yes, I can. Come to Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. I want to show you that it never went out of business. I maintain we may not know all the places where the Church of Christ has gone, but I'll guarantee you, it has never gone out of business. The Bible says, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall not be destroyed. It shall not be left to other people, but it shall consume and break in pieces all these kingdoms. And it shall stand forever. Am I correct about it? Let me tell you something. The only way you can get rid of the Church of Christ, the only way the Church of Christ can go out of business, you have to get rid of the head. If you can't get rid of the head, you can't get rid of the body, because his body is connected to the head. Now he's the universal Christ. I said he's the universal Christ. He's everywhere. I need you to understand. Well, if he's the universal Christ, how can you get rid of him? I want to tell you, they tried one time. You remember in John chapter 13, chapter 19, verse 33, when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs. In other words, he died. They tried to get rid of him, but they messed up, put him in a tomb. 3 days later, he got up from the dead. Colossians 1, verse 18, and he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now let me work with this for a moment. The firstborn from the dead. Now that word is a very interesting word, but what you need to understand is this. There were people who had been born from the dead before Jesus got up from the dead. As a matter of fact, Elijah raised the widow's son. Am I correct about it? Jesus raised the widow's son and man. Am I correct about it? A whole lot of folk, Lazarus, was raised from the dead. But let me tell you, the widow's son died again. The widow's son in Luke 7 died again. Lazarus died again. But Jesus got up to die no more. Now I want to know, how can you kill him now? He got up. Well, if you push him off a cliff, he'll just walk down the cliff. If you throw him in the water, he'll walk on the water. If you put him in a tomb, you get up with all power. How can you kill him? You can't kill him. He died once to die no more. I'm trying to tell you, the church of Christ is here. And in order to get rid of the church of Christ, you have to get rid of Christ. And you can't get rid of Christ. And then number two, in order to get rid of the church of Christ, you have to get rid of the seed, the word of God. And you can't do that. Matthew 24:35. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You can't get rid of the church of Christ. I don't care how hard you try. Every time a person is baptized into the body or church of Christ, that's the Holy Spirit perpetuating the church. And as long as this earth stands, the Holy Spirit will be teaching directly, no, indirectly, yes, he's teaching tonight. The Holy Spirit is teaching tonight, but he's using me. I read Ephesians 6:17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You want to be begotten, James 1:18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be the kinds of first fruits of his creatures. What are you telling us, preacher? I'm simply telling you tonight that the church of Christ is perpetuated because of the Holy Spirit. The church of Christ isn't going anywhere. We may as well make up our mind we're going to get in it before it's too late. Because Jesus is coming back for it. And when he comes back for his church, I read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. What's going to happen in the end time? Jesus and those that die in Christ are going to come down. Those of us, if we are still alive, we're going to get caught up. We're going to meet them in the air. And somewhere out there, he's going to give us a new heaven and a new earth. Somewhere between down here and up there, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Somebody might ask, preacher, how in the world can we be hanging all up there? Well, I want to tell you, you're hanging now. You may not know it, but I read Joel 26 and verse 7. He stretches out the north over the empty space and hangeth the earth on nothing. We are hanging now on nothing. You got to understand, this world is turning out there on nothing. You don't feel it. You don't see it because God persistently did this thing perfectly. You see, the earth is still turning out there and it's hanging on nothing. But I thank God something can hold it and is holding it up. Oh, I read Hebrews 1. God who has sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, but whom also he made the worlds, who be in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Here it is. And upholding all things by the word of his power. Jesus is holding it up. I bear on nothing. God spoke it. I wish I had more time to talk to you. Why do we exist as the Church of Christ? Because the Holy Spirit perpetuates it. When the Holy Spirit stops teaching, I'm telling you, indirectly through the church, then the church is going to dry up. When people stop getting converted, the church is going to dry up. But we don't have to worry about the church drying up. Because he's going to empower people who love him to go out and spread the word. So we're not worried. The Bible is still right. You're here tonight. You're not a member of the Church of Christ. When I say it like that, because I mean it like that. You know, I hear a lot of people, well, you ought to get in the body. Well, that's great, but tell the folks what the body is. Every denominational preacher I know called his church the body. But I guarantee you, he won't say, well, come on in the body of Christ, because you're getting in the Church of Christ. You know why they won't call it the Church of Christ, but they'll call it the body of Christ? Because they know if they say come to the Church of Christ, you come over here. I wouldn't say it either if I were them. Because they know there's a Church of Christ in town. They better say body. Because if they say Church of Christ, you're coming here. So they won't say it. Be like a man was a part of a Methodist church, and he was the new pastor. He made it to town and looked at all the members he had, and he wanted to build a new building. So he went throughout the community telling people he was pastor so-and-so of the Methodist church, and he wanted to build a new building. So he ran up on a rich man in the Church of Christ. This man told him, I'll give you $125,000 if you put out there, this is the Church of Christ. He said, well, sir, I can't do that. He said, I tell you what, I'll give you the same $125,000 if you put out there, this is not the Church of Christ. He said, sir, I can't do that. Now, come on, man. You're either the Church of Christ or you're something else. What you mean you can't put, this is not the Church of Christ? What you mean you can't put, this is the Church of Christ? You see how deceptive people are? But the Bible already told us. Ephesians 4:14. That he be henceforth not tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait. W-A-I-T. Wait. To deceive. They're waiting on people that don't know the Bible so they can trick them. So if you don't know the Bible, they love to see you coming. Y'all know what Thanksgiving is? Huh? They give you a turkey. You know what Valentine's Day is? They give you some candy, hearts. Yeah. Christmas! They give your children some toys. Every special holiday, they'll do something for you to keep you, because they know the truth is not being preached. So they have to give you all some stuff to keep you. But you won't come to the Church of Christ looking for some Halloween candy. Anyway, some of us probably starting that, you know, to get us some new members. The Bible is right. What do you want to do tonight? You want to obey the gospel? Acts 15 and verse 7. When there had been much disputing, Peter rose up, saying to them, men and brethren, ye know that a good while ago that God made choice among us that the Gentile by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Acts 17:30. And the time of this ignorant God waited at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Acts 19:18. And many that came believed and confessed and showed their deeds. You have to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And let me just drop this and I'll take my seat. Baptism is always in water unless the text says is in something else. So every time you read the word baptized, it means in water. Unless the text says it means something else. When a word is used for the first time, that's what the word means every time you read it, unless the text says it means something else. And I think we need to remember that. So when Paul said, for by one spirit are we all baptized, that's baptized in water. Yes, sir. That's right. So you have to accept what the Bible says if you're going to please God. A lot of these biblical principles or hermeneutical principles, whatever you all like to call it, you know, I just say explanation words. You explain it, people get it. You say hermeneutics, they wonder, you know, what is he trying to do, fool me? I'm not trying to fool anybody. I want you to understand it. It's simple. What's your desire? You want to be baptized? Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Every one of you, the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. I was telling Brother Mitchell the other day, if not today, we just baptized a couple Saturday. We baptized three people on Thursday night. We baptized this couple on Saturday. They were a part of the Jesus Only movement. Jesus Only. I'm telling you all, if we continue to teach the Bible the way we ought to teach the Bible, we will baptize people out of every denomination in the world. But if we don't teach, they won't see it. We have a responsibility. Paul said in Ephesians 3:9, what is the fellowship of the mystery? To make all men see. It's our job to help people to see. If we don't teach them, they will not see. We cannot be afraid to tell them the truth. Yeah, people tell me, Brother Holt, you preaching like that, you're going to run the people off. Honey, if they don't know Jesus, they're already off. I'm going to run you off if you're already off. The only thing I can do is teach you the truth and get you in. I'm finished. You want to get in? Galatians 3:26. For you all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized, that's in water, into Christ, have put on Christ. You want to put him on tonight? We got time. We have time tonight to wait on you. To teach you some more if we need to. Anyone? Song leader.